Hello and welcome to another edition of the Nerd Stash Show. My name is Taylor Cole and I will be your host today. Joining me, we have Michael Mosley. Michael, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. I'm following up from our Synergy show from last night.
Yeah, it was certainly a thing to me because that award show was probably about an hour long, but they somehow stretched it out into about three. And I don't think the show really, there were some good things I'm sure we'll talk about, but there was also a lot of filler and a lot of ad placement, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of that too, but it's not just you and I today. We're also joined by Riley Logue. Riley, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Taylor. Yeah, I felt yesterday as if the show, after a while, just like my brain turned into soup and my brain completely shut off, so I know that I watched, like, the end, like, the Matrix thing, but, like, I was completely asleep, so there are some parts of the show that are completely blank from my memory, but not much of it. Probably, like, the last half hours until they gave out Game of the Year.
That's where I think the show really started to suffer a little bit, too. Especially until, I think, Keanu Reeves got back involved, and if Keanu Reeves ever ends up being like, oh, he's an asshole, he did something terrible, I'd be so disappointed. He just seems like the coolest dude on the planet.
He really does.
I feel like I'm about to get on a tangent. So let's get into our show today. Today we'll be sharing our reactions to most of the notable trailers from the Game Awards 2021. But before we do any of that, we have to talk about our predictions episode from last week. So last week, we locked in our predictions for most of the awards up for grabs at the Game Awards. I think the only things we did not predict were the best esports event, the best esports coach, the best esports player, and there was one more. I think it was the best esports team is the other one we did not predict. But everything else, I believe we sent in predictions for, and the person who got the most predictions right would be getting a guaranteed slot in our upcoming Clash at the Stash episode. So, who won? I'm going to go ahead and let the winner share some brief words on their victory. So, whoever won this predictions episode, take it away.
Yeah, I was the winner of this last week's predictions episode, and I was pretty surprised by that when you tallied up the total last night, Taylor, at the end of the show.
I believe you had 15 predictions right, and yeah. Michael and I both had 9. I think that's what the final tally was.
Yeah, you both were tied, I believe. Yeah, I was surprised because I remember at the beginning of the show, it was not really going my way.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was going Michael's way earlier.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, you were right. Last night you messaged in the Discord channel that just like once Maggie Robertson won for best voice acting, or best performance in a game, I think is the category. It just seemed like one after another, we're kind of going my way. So yeah, I'm excited for, winning. I really wasn't expecting that. I'm excited for the Clash at the Stash. I hope we can get Brandon on for that because that'll be a lot of fun. And I still got to think about what the topic is going to be.
Now, remember, though, it's got to be within reason. So you can't just lopside it completely to your favor.
Oh, but no, totally.
You can pick something that's really in your wheelhouse and potentially make Brandon Stevenson or whoever we end up getting in that other chair have to, you know, work a little bit harder to win it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I've got some ideas running around my head, but, you know, nothing set in stone yet. So stay tuned for that episode. We're going to be recording it sometime in the future.
So we're going to go ahead and get into our Game of the Year reactions. The winner of Game of the Year is what we're going to start out with today. And in a shocking turn of events, Hazelight Studios' game, It Takes Two, won Game of the Year. What did you guys think of this surprise? Me, personally, this was an absolute shocker. I didn't even think they really had a chance, and that's not to knock the game. It's just that I thought it was seriously going to be Ratchet and Clank, or even Deathloop, and that was pretty much the main two to me. Michael, we'll start with you.
I did not play It Takes Two, so I can't really say if it was worthy of Game of the Year, but seeing Joseph wins is amazing, so I was really okay with It Takes Two winning Game of the Year. But it was definitely... it was definitely out of left field. I honestly did not think it was should have even been in the running. I didn't think people really saw the game that way. I didn't really hear a whole lot of buzz about it. So I was surprisingly shocked that it even got nominated, and even more shocked that it actually won. But I was happy for it because, again, seeing Joseph win is just amazing.
Riley, what did you think?
Yeah, I was also surprised by It Takes Two winning Game of the Year. I also didn't play it, so, you know, I can't really speak too much to the game itself, but it was really surprising, and that made the show, that just sort of end capped the show. Like I said earlier, my brain was kind of turning into soup at the end of the show, just like I was ready to fall asleep, and it wasn't really, you know, catching my interest after probably the second hour or something. I mean, some of the trailers did, but in the show itself just sort of lost a lot of steam until that point, and I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. So it was kind of a really good end cap for the show, and it's nice to see something win that's not totally predictable. Like last year, yeah, Last of Us 2 won, and that was completely predictable, right? And we thought, even we made our predictions on this show, and even then it wasn't completely clear what would win, but It Takes Two was on nobody's radar. In fact, I don't think it was on anybody in the internet's radar either. So it's really good to see kind of an underdog win.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get on to the game trailers themselves. We don't want to be here for 2+ hours, so we're not going to give out any recaps. And unfortunately, we're just not going to be able to talk about everything either. Still, we're going to go over a lot of the notable stuff shown at the awards this year, starting with the Galaxy Far, Far Away. What did you think of the trailer for Star Wars Eclipse? Riley, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I thought this was a pretty exciting trailer when I saw it. I was not expecting it at all. I didn't know about this game, but apparently it leaked before this.
I did see that on social media as well. Apparently it leaked a few hours before, I believe. Well,
that's not so bad. But yeah, I liked the trailer. I mean, there's not much to really talk about yet, I feel like, because it was just a purely cinematic trailer. The one thing I will say about this game is that Quantic Dream is developing it, and that sort of taints my excitement for the game, just because I'm not really a big fan of Quantic Dream games. I tried Detroit Become Human, didn't really click for me. I tried, a long time ago, I tried Heavy Rain, and that didn't click for me either. So I am a little bit hesitant about this game now, but the trailer itself was absolutely fantastic. And I might be a little bit more hyped for the cinematic trailers, especially the ones early on, because I had the privilege of watching the show through kind of fresh eyes with my husband. He's never seen the Game Awards, and, you know, I made him kind of sit down and watch it with me until he went to bed, and he really wasn't expecting the level of polish and production that Jeff Keighley brings to the Game Awards. So every single trailer that was coming out, he was like, wow, this is great, this is great. I wish this was a movie. And I was like, this is the Game Awards, not the movie awards. It's not the Oscars. But so that is why I think, just like, if you've heard this show before, you've heard me talk about how I'm not like super hyped for cinematic trailers, but I am hesitantly hyped for this, I'll say.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for it. I'm mainly hyped, though, because it's a Star Wars game that's not in the Empire era. Quantic Dream, I kind of agree with you, Riley, but it's a game to look out for sure. Michael, what about you?
I'm with Riley. It's not enough to go on here. Sure, it was a cool pre-render. It'd be kind of cool if they did like with Ninja Theory, where they tease.
It is a next-gen only game, correct? I did not see the Xbox One and PS4. I think
that's the thing. Like, it's so shrouded, but it's in early development, so I would safely assume that they're pushing it for
it's next gen.
Yeah, for the next gen GPUs and consoles. We're finally moving into that stage where more developers are starting to make new gen games now, where they're feeling a little more comfortable.
Which, by the way, to, you know, plug our own stuff here, Michael and I had a pretty larger conversation about that, like when gaming studios should start to do that, whether it's the right thing or not, because everybody can't get their hands on a next-gen console, so if you want to check that out, you should be able to find it here.
It's a pretty cool plug. Look at you. But
I'm getting better.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
But yeah, I agree with Riley. It's way too early. I'm glad that they announced that, hey, it's in early development. This was just an announcement trailer. But I don't know. Some of the creature designs look cool. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. I want to see what those things
that's
are.
That's just Star Wars, though. Like, I think that's something that just draws everybody to Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's just the creature design is so good.
Yeah, it really is. And seeing the drumming creatures or whatever they're supposed to be. Those things look really cool. I'm not going to lie. I kind of thought like, oh, man, this is kind of like Mass Effect-ish. But I was like, no, this is like Star Wars finally moving away from Vader and Palpatine and like doing something else, like Knights of the Old Republic sort of. So I'm glad that we got to see what they're shooting for, like with the world and the creatures. But yeah, I'm not we've been let down by awesome looking Star Wars stuff before. Like EA stuff looked pretty cool at first. So I'm just going to wait. And it is Quantic Dream. So gameplay wise, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure on that. So I'm just going to wait before I get excited.
You mentioned Star Wars Eclipse was just an announcement trailer, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's talk about another announcement trailer. And that's for a game that is, I believe, a decade in the making. Let's talk about Alan Wake 2.
Finally.
Alan Wake 2 was finally announced. And man, this was one hell of a trailer. I loved it. I believe the studio as well said that this is going to be a horror survival game. And I guess they didn't classify the first one as that. I believe they said it was more of an action game to them. So this is going to be their official like first foray into that field. So it's going to be very exciting to see. And I got to admit, this game is going to have so much hype attached to it that I'm not sure it's going to be able to fully, you know, live up to it. Remedy has a lot to work on here. Riley, what did you think?
I was really shocked that this was Alan Wake 2. And I don't know why. This seems like the standout announcement
because
from the entire thing.
Everybody thought it was going to happen for years and years, and it never did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's interesting for me because I've never played the original Alan Wake.
Blasphemy.
So, when
that
the
is blasphemy.
Yeah, when the announcement when this hit, I was like, the way that they made the trailer, you don't really quite know what it is, and I was like, oh, what's this? And then the name comes up, and I was like, oh my god, like this is a huge deal. So from the industry perspective, I think that's why I got super hyped. But yeah, it kind of makes me want to play. I think they recently brought Alan Wake to the Switch. I hope I'm right about that, but it makes me want to play Alan Wake before I play Alan Wake 2. And actually, it also makes me want to play Control. Now, I played a little bit of Control on my PlayStation 4, but the performance wasn't great. And so I decided to wait till I got my PS5, but then I got my PS5 and I haven't gone back to it. But because I think Control is somewhat connected to the Alan Wake universe. Now, who knows in the new game if they're going to actually like reference that connection or not, right? But they could. So I kind of want to get all of that context before they release the sequel. But I feel like I have some time before. They didn't give an announcement date, did they? I don't remember that they did.
2023.
Okay, yeah,
they
said
they
right.
would have more to share, I believe, summer 2022.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I don't think they confirmed it, but that pretty much tells me E3 2022 by the way that they were talking about it.
Yeah.
But, Michael, what did you think about this? Remedy is finally doing it.
Yeah, anybody who has followed my somewhat prestigious journalism career.
You're on the show, Michael. I mean, how prestigious can it be?
Hey, prestigious enough to get your attention. But, I mean, anybody who's who knows anything about me or seen any of my stuff knows that I absolutely love Alan Wake. I when it came out on the 360, I got the collector's edition, the cooler box with the book that was in it, because I was just that hyped for it, because I really love Remedy, and pretty much anything they put out, I will play. So I am looking forward to Crossfire X campaign, but we'll talk about that some other time. Man, I'm super excited. This was easily the best announcement at this entire show for me. That Alan Wake 2 has finally happened. But Riley, I do advise playing Control. Control is really cool. It's not the best game Remedy's ever made, but it's such a trippy mindset that it's fun in its own way, in its own right. Even though the two DLCs that came with is pretty disappointing because it's supposed to push the lore, but I digress. I'm super hyped for Alan Wake 2. I've been waiting for years. I was truly hoping all the rumors of it coming to PS4 and Xbox One was a thing, and it never happened. Instead, we got Control, and I was super happy with Control, and I was completely okay with that. 2023, while I'm disappointed to hear that 2023, I am happy that they have enough faith in Alan Wake, in this series, in this franchise, hopefully, that they were proud enough to announce that, hey, we're doing it. It's finally happening. Please give us 2 more years. And yes, summer of 2022, we will be able to hear more. So Alan Wake just hit my most anticipated games of 2023. It's the first game on there. Look at that. So I'm hyped for it. I'm excited.
That and Skull and Bones.
Oh, God, Skull and Bones is never going to come out.
Skull and Bones didn't deserve that. I'm sorry. It didn't deserve that random shot from me.
Yeah, if you're you hope you remember Skulls and Bones is even a thing. Because that and, what was that game? Evil Deeds? No, not Evil Deeds. Beyond Good and Evil 2? That's never going to happen either.
That'd be very sad. Very sad that that never happened. But let's move on to the next game announcement here that we got to talk about. And I'm going to have a little bit of a self-monologue here. I love Batman. Don't get me wrong. Hell, even I had a Clash at the Stash on Nerd Stop Movies where I pitched a Batman TV series kind of idea. But there is something I'm getting a little tired of in video games especially, and that is DC only knows one name. And that's apparently fucking Batman. So when Warner Brothers went to the stage, and I believe it's Monolith who developed Shadow of Mordor, that franchise, and they announced a new DC game, I was very pleasantly surprised when it turned out to be a Wonder Woman game. So, Michael, what about you? What did you think?
I mean, yeah.
It didn't show anything. It literally was an announcement trailer.
Yeah.
To say, like, hey, we're making a Wonder Woman game.
Yeah.
And I believe it showed the character model for Diana.
Yeah. Man, you know, it's so weird. They showed that after they showed off the excellent-looking Suicide Squad. So I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm not excited for this. But it's made by Monolith, so that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I was not interested in this at all. First of all, I'm not a big DC fan. Second of all, they didn't really show much for Wonder Woman. So I'm not really, I don't think this is really for me. Literally all they showed, like you said, was the character model of Diana Ross. Wonder Woman. But
Diana Prince.
I'm not super interested. And also, I know people really like the at least the first Wonder Woman movie that came out. Now, I don't know if this Wonder Woman game is going to be connected to the movie at all, but it seems that the popularity from
probably not
Yeah, it seems like the popularity from those movies, though, are kind of pushing, you know, for a Wonder Woman game. But I didn't like those movies, so... I only watched the first one, and I didn't really like it. So, yeah, I'm not super hyped about this one, I gotta say.
I guess I'll be the person to defend it here. I mean, Wonder Woman is part of DC Trinity, you know, the main three characters of DC here. And yet again, I have to say this. For years, people have went, hey, can you make a Superman game? Hey, can you make a Flash game? Hey, can you make anything that's not Batman related? They're finally doing it, at least. And Monolith, to, you know, the studio's credit, they have created one hell of a great system in the, what is it called? I forgot. They have an official name for it, I think. But the enemy system from Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War. So it's going to be interesting to see if they try to incorporate that into this game. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I agree, though. This was literally just an announcement trailer to say, like, hey, we're making a new game here. Let's move on to our next topic, which is just a little bit of movie talk into our video game news. And that's because Ben Schwartz, who plays Sonic the Hedgehog in the Sonic films, came out, you know, had his own bit here about pulling out a DVD and whatnot, and showed off the first trailer for Sonic 2.
The thing that I remember most from this entire thing is when they got Jim Carrey to pre-record himself doing a Scottish accent and choking the camera, which I thought would have been pretty funny, but it went on way too long.
Yeah, it was a little too long. I feel like it would have been perfect if they cut it off about 15 seconds.
Yeah, earlier. Like, bring out Jim Carrey, you know, well, via pre-recorded video, let him do his little thing, but then end it. I mean, I was sitting there feeling uncomfortable. I can't imagine the people in the theater, right? But besides that whole thing, I'm actually, like, pretty... I wouldn't say, like, excited for Sonic 2, but I am pretty happy that they're adding Tails and Knuckles and I think even Shadow. And so, you know, I wouldn't say I ironically like the first one. I sort of have a love-hate relationship with it. I love that it exists, but I hate watching it. So I'm definitely going to go see Sonic 2. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So take what you will from that.
Michael?
I'm actually, Sonic 1 was a surprise for me. I went to theaters not knowing if it was going to be any good. But I was like, hey, I'll give it a shot because the trailers look decent enough. And it was surprisingly good for me. So I was like super excited. Spoiler for anybody who didn't watch the first movie. At the end where Tails finally showed up, I almost jumped out of my seat and yelled, yes, it's Tails. And then like in front of a bunch of kids, I'd be like, oh, I better sit down before when these parents call security on me. But I was super excited that, hey, we might get a sequel to this. And it has Tails in it, one of my favorite Sonic characters. And seeing Knuckles, hearing about Idris Elba playing Knuckles, I was unsure at first. But seeing this trailer, like that small amount that we got from Knuckles, it's just awesome. So I'm glad they brought back Jim Carrey, because usually like stars like Jim Carrey, they usually do like a one and done kind of deal and kind of move on. But I'm glad they brought him back. It looks like they're doing just as much as they did in the first one. It looks like they're having fun with it. And they're keeping it whimsical in a way. Sonic looks like he's gotten used to his powers, like he understands what he's supposed to do, which may lead to hijinks. And having Tails back as an ace pilot is always a joy to see. So I'm down for this. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see what they do with the Emeralds and what they do with Knuckles. I really do hope that this one moves them from the human world and kind of put it back into like the fantasy world of Sonic the Hedgehog, or if they're going to do like the Sega games and have a mixture of the two, that would be nice. Like maybe the Chaos Emerald happens and, you know, maybe it brings both worlds together. I don't know. I don't care. I just want I just want to see more of the Sonic universe and less of the human world.
Yeah, I remember when the first trailer dropped for Sonic, right? And hell, Ben Schwartz even mentions this, right? And the when he came out to talk about it. By the way, I thought that bit was actually pretty funny. Where he also pulled out the DVD. Was like, hey, this is just for effect. It'd be weird if the trailer was actually on here. But he was saying, hey, thank you so much for saying that the Sonic design sucked. It really saved us in the end. Because I think as a factual statement, I think if they kept that original design, nobody would have went to see this movie. But then people actually did. The design looked a lot better. And what we got as an end result is just a fun family movie. And I feel like Sonic 2 is just going to be more of that. I'm right there with you, Michael. I thought Idris Elba was a strange choice to be Knuckles. But I think from what the brief bit we saw, he was pretty good. Moving on, we're going to have some TV talk on this gaming podcast real quick. And briefly talk about this Halo trailer that dropped. And it was just a teaser, so I don't expect us to talk about it too much. Me personally, I just think the suits look great, and that was about it. I think that's all it really showed, in my opinion. I'm excited to see what the show is going to be, if it's going to be any good, if it's going to be a massive flop. I feel like there's not going to be an in-between. Michael, what you think?
I really don't care for this. I like Halo. People know how harsh I... I wouldn't say I was harsh at 343.
No, you were pretty harsh on 343.
I had my criticisms.
There were some words. Michael, I believe I had to edit out some of the stuff you said.
Really?
There were some words. I don't think so. But,
you know, I've been quite critical of 343 and their handling of the Halo story. Not the game itself. You know, the gameplay's been solid. But the story itself with their Redeemer saga, which I don't even think they're following through with, but whatever.
By the way, have you played Infinite yet?
I
know this is a small tangent, but everybody's been saying the campaign for Infinite is amazing.
I'm getting started on it. I've been playing it sparsely. I came back from Fort Worth, Texas on Sunday, and I have been doing a bunch of stuff, working on interviews and whatnot for Anime Frontier that went over the past weekend. But I'm getting started on Infinite, and so far, so good. You know, I'm not hating it. I don't like that the way they tried to retcon Halo 5 Guardians, but at the same time, I kind of get why they're retconning Halo 5 Guardians. But yeah, 343, I'm still giving them a chance. I'm still playing Halo. I'm still enjoying it. The TV series, this thing has been in development for so long that I stopped caring about the live action Halo series. Microsoft has done some great stuff with some shorts, with some of the trailers that they live action trailers that they made. It's like, yeah, all this stuff looks kind of cool. I don't care anymore. So for the Halo TV series, I have Paramount Plus, so I'll watch it, but it's not like it's on my, like, it's not in my queue. It's not on my watch list. I still rather watch Centaur World season 2.
Yeah. Riley, what you think?
Yeah, this is one of those things that was shown and I barely paid attention because I'm not really a Halo person. And so I'm definitely not going to watch the TV show. Yeah, like you said, Taylor, I did catch just some visual glimpses of the trailer after like looking up from my phone, right? And I mean, it looks pretty, but it's not really for me.
Understandable. I think it's one of those things, Michael, you mentioned it being so long in development. It is a true statement there. Like, this game to series deal, I don't remember who it was. Was it Stars, I think? It was originally supposed to go on. Now it's Paramount Plus. And this is just a long time coming. I guess we'll see if this thing ends up being any good. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't think there's going to be in between. I think this thing's either going to be a massive success and catch on, or we're going to hear about it getting canceled after one season. Or maybe two seasons. Maybe they've already greenlit a second. I don't know.
Oh, Microsoft's going to push this.
Yeah, they'll push it to at least a second. But let's get back to video game talk on our podcast. Because guess what? We're a video game podcast. Kind of. If you couldn't tell by listening to us. So let's talk about Horizon Forbidden West. There was a short trailer at the Game Awards this year. What did you guys think of it? I kind of have nothing to say about this one, just because I'm not that huge into this franchise. What do you think? Riley, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I thought the trailer was so-so. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't...
It feels like they're trying not to give away anything because they're getting closer and closer to release.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the most... I mean, I was sort of like... I'm huge into the Horizon series, I should say. And so when they announced that they were doing... when Jeff Keighley came out and he said, like, we're doing... We're going to show you another trailer for Horizon Forbidden West. I was a little bit like, oh, okay. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff about it. I'm just, you know, waiting for it to come out at this point. But, you know, whatever. And they had that whole orchestra play, which I got to say, did you guys see the flute guy?
I did not.
Okay. He, go back and watch the orchestra. He's sitting right next to the singer. And he is just rocking out, man. He's having a good old time. So that was fun to watch. As for the trailer itself, the thing that I was most impressed by, was the, ability to now jump on, flying creatures, and which I think they've announced before, and the underwater stuff, which I know that they've, announced before, and just seeing all the different, I'm sure there's a name for them, I can't remember, but the dinosaur mechs. I liked the giant snake, that was cool. And so, you know, it has me really hyped to play this game. I gotta say, next February is gonna be very busy for me. Horizon Forbidden West is coming out, and also Elden Ring, so I don't know how I'm gonna get time to play both as much as I want to, but yeah, I'm excited. I thought the trailer was so-so. I guess I'm glad it's here, but it didn't increase my excitement, but to be fair, I was already, you know, on board from, you know, the minute they announced this Forbidden West, so yeah.
I'm actually super hyped for this one. I really loved
the game or the trailer?
Oh, the game and the trailer. Like, they were both okay. Great. Okay.
I was about to say, I think Riley's hyped for the game. I'm not so much. I think I would be if I played the first one. I think it was just the trailer. We're just like, this really felt like we just wanted to remind people that Horizon 2 was coming out.
I mean, yeah, and I that's what I liked, really liked about it, is that they showed the game without showing too much. Like, we had the the quote unquote live gameplay that was shown not too long ago, and with this, like, hey, here's some of the outfits that Aloy, I keep on calling her Alloy, but Aloy has. Here's some of her new moves. This is what you can do. And the transition they had was really cool looking, because, like, hey, it's all in-game. It's not pre-rendered. This is what the game looks like. Here are some of her animations. Here are some of the outfits she can have. Here are some of her powers. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I really like this. And then showing the scale of some of these beasts, like the strange snake cobra, whatever that thing wrapping around the column was, that looked really awesome. Pterodactyl robots look really cool. Giant Blastoid looking robots. I'm down for this. Like, this looks really, really cool. And the trailer and the snippets of gameplay that they showed really made me even more hyped for Horizon. And I really wish it didn't get pushed back, but I'm also kind of glad it got pushed back, because it gives them more time to make sure the game actually works. And yeah, I'm excited for Horizon Forbidden West. I really love the first game, and I really want to see what they do with this one.
Well, hopefully we will get to see soon. What did you say, Riley? It's February, right? I believe it's the release.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm not sure of the exact date, but sometime in February.
Thought it was February. Let's move on, though, to our next game. And Michael, you mentioned this before. You were talking about the Suicide Squad. Kill the Justice League. And I think a complaint we've had on this show is, hey, this game hasn't showed any gameplay. Why do we keep seeing it in these cinematic, you know, trailers? But we finally got gameplay for Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. I know, it's a shock. What did you guys think of this trailer? Michael, you kick us off.
It looks absolutely amazing. I didn't know how they're going to pull this off, but it has like this wacky, cool Sunset Overdrive kind of vibe to it, and it looks like everybody is viable. It looks like whether you play Harley Quinn or you play Captain Boomerang, no matter who you play, it looks like you're gonna have some kind of fun in different ways with every character. Now, I would like to know if it's only co-op, because if it's AI, I hope they let us switch between each character on like Guardians of the Galaxy. But yeah, it looked really good. I'm really liking the way it looks, and now I really want to play Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and I also kind of want to see what that Bat Family game is all about. But for right now, I'm really loving the way Suicide Squad looks.
Riley?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm not a huge fan of most things DC. And that was why before this trailer came out, this game really wasn't on my radar at all. I mean, I knew it was coming out, but I wasn't super hyped for it or anything. But this trailer stood out as one of the standout trailers of the entire show, I think.
Wow, I wonder why, Riley. I wonder why one trailer stood out among the rest of them. What was so different about it? Gee, I don't know. Oh, by the way, just unrelated, this was a gameplay trailer yet again. I just want to say that. Riley, continue.
That's right, that's right. This was a gameplay trailer, and that is definitely why it stood out amongst the rest, because it gave me something to be excited about. And the gameplay looks fast and, you know, kinetic, and it just looks like a lot of stuff is going on. And so I am now, the game is definitely on my radar now. It's definitely something that I probably will want to pick up and play. And so, you know, I'm glad it was here. I'm glad they showed off some gameplay. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought this trailer was pretty good. It's kind of like on my radar, kind of like you said, Riley. It's not necessarily, I don't know, it's just there's something about this game that's not clicking for me. Maybe it's because I don't buy into the game's title. It's called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. I feel like what it should be called is Suicide Squad Knockout Justice League, because I feel like that's what's going to happen. I cannot buy into the fact that you're going to be killing off the Justice League throughout this game. I just get this feeling that it's going to be this, like, oh, you knock them out, oh, they're good now kind of deal. I don't know. We'll see whenever the game comes out. I feel like its story is the main thing holding me up, because also the Suicide Squad going against the Justice League is its own deal. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that front. Let's talk about, oh man, this is I gotta admit, this one's a little disappointing for me, because I think we all sat here when the new Saints Row game got announced, and we didn't fully get it, like, the, I don't want to say backlash, but just the hate it got. But I gotta admit, after seeing this gameplay trailer, I can understand it a little bit. It feels like this game has identity crisis.
Yeah, I sort of agree. I don't remember much from the trailer. I know I watched it, but I'm not super excited for the new Saints Row. I mean, I might play it, but it's not something that is pulling me, you know, very much right now, and the trailer didn't really do much to help. I don't even remember what happens in the trailer, to be honest, but I think they showed off a little bit more of the different factions, right? And so, you know, I don't know, I don't really have much interesting to say on this one, but
I'm with Riley. There's not much to say about this game. It looks like Saints Row. I'm sorry. I really do enjoy the old Saints Row games, and this looks like Saints Row. I don't really know if it's much of a reboot.
That's the thing, didn't it market this as like it's a refresh kind of the whole series? It kind of felt like, okay, you know what? We're going to leave the Saints Row 3s and 4s in the past. We're going to do something new. It's going to be a little outlandish, yeah, but I thought we were going to get something a little different, and from this gameplay, it looks like, oh, it's just fucking Saints Row 3 again.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just go play that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's just something about it that's like really throwing me off, but that's just me, I guess.
It's the point that it doesn't look like it's as wacky fun as the is like Saints Row 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. It's identity crisis. It's like they're trying to be both to me.
Well, yeah, they really scaled it back, and it's like, hey, we get it. You guys didn't like the superpowers and the Aliens Invasion. So we're going to scale it way back to like what seems like Saints Row 2.
Saints Row 2.
Yeah.
But then it also looks like Saints Row 3 stuff too in there, which is why I'm saying like that identity crisis of like, all right, you got to pick one.
Yeah. Either
want to be the serious GTA kind of gameplay or you're going to be the wacky.
Yeah, they're trying to blend it, but also make it be a reboot, which is kind of, and that's the main problem. You can reboot the series. That's fine. You want to go back to, like, I guess your roots. But I think everybody's problem is, one, we've gotten so used to how crazy Saints Row can get. This feels like a true downgrade, even though it's a reboot. And two, those characters just don't look cool and fun. Like, you go from the boss, aka you, to Shanti and Gat, and then you get hipsters. You're like, dude, no, this, I'm okay. I'm just like you said, I'm gonna just go back and play the old Saints Row because those were fun, and it looks like that's what you're doing anyway. So why would I want to play the new Saints Row?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I guess it just took me a little bit longer to get there. Where the internet initially when it got released, they're like, this don't look great, and I just didn't understand it. And I saw this gameplay trailer, I was like, nope, I understand it. Hopefully, this game can pull it off, though. I'm rooting for it. You never root for a game to fail, so hopefully it is a lot of fun. Maybe there's a lot of stuff we don't have our hands on the controller to play it yet, so maybe that's the problem. But we'll have to wait and see on that, because the game still is a little bit ways away. Let's talk about, scrolling down here, let's talk about an online multiplayer game. Jason got one of these games back in the day that was a lot of fun, and it unfortunately the developers had to stop support on it. But now there's going to be a Texas Chainsaw Massacre online multiplayer game, and I'm kind of pumped for it. Riley, what about you?
Yeah, I don't really know if I'm super excited about this game. I, like you mentioned, Friday the 13th was kind of the game that I remember that did this sort of thing first, sort of the asynchronous multiplayer idea where one person is the killer and the other people are trying to survive. I'm assuming that's what they're going for, but you know, I might check it out. But I think the one reason that I'm not super excited for the game, and it's nothing on the game's part, it's just that the Evil Dead game is also coming out next year. And I'm much more excited for that game than this game. And I think both are sort of the maybe similar ideas. So, you know, we'll see. I hope that the game is good, and I might check it out, you know, just for fun. But that's about all my thoughts on this one.
I think that's fair to say. We don't know what it's going to completely be, though, because we don't see a gameplay for it. It's just a cinematic. Just think the concept of it is very intriguing, because there is something about the Dead by Daylights, the Friday the 13th, that's just a lot of fun to play with friends. But, Michael, what did you think?
So, I might have fallen asleep or blanked out on this, because I don't actually remember seeing...
I believe it was in the pre-show.
Be as it may, yeah, when I saw or heard about this, I was like, oh, so it's going to be like Dead by Daylight? I'm not really sure how you're going to do Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, wasn't Texas Chainsaw Massacre actually a DLC for a little, like a cross-promoted DLC in Dead by Daylight? Like, isn't the leather mask?
I don't know, but I know Scream was for sure.
Yeah, Scream is the most recent.
Like, I know Stranger Things was as well.
Yeah. And so was Freddy and whatnot. Huh, was Freddy? I'm not sure. But whatever.
I'm not sure if Freddy was. See, now we're just... what, you want to throw Chucky in there, too?
I was going to say that. Like, Chucky has a TV show now, so prepare to see Chucky in there. But yeah, I honestly have nothing to say about this one because I didn't see it, so I can't actually comment on the trailer. But do we need any more online multiplayer horror games? Like, I think Dead by Daylight.
I would argue that we could, because I think they could always get... It's a genre that I don't think it's too overbloated yet, and it hasn't been perfected. And I don't mean perfected like, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, but there hasn't been that one, like, oh, this is it. This is like the cream of the crop of this genre.
The bar setter.
I feel like we can, the bar setter. I feel like all of them have been, building up, paving the way, but we haven't gotten that yet. So maybe this might be it if it ends up being that kind of game. Let's move on to our next game, which is Elden Ring. Michael, what did you think?
I'm still not excited for Elden Ring. I already know that I'm going to get flack for it, but I have no interest in Elden Ring. It was a cool trailer, though. I'll give them that. It was a cool look at the story.
Yeah.
So there's that. Cool. It looks cool.
From George R. R. Martin, which, take it for what you will. It depends on what you think of Game of Thrones right now and the book series as well. Riley, what do you think?
This is definitely the highlight of the show for me. There is not a single game that I am more excited about, and not a single game that I have been as excited about as Elden Ring. And I know that this was just a cinematic trailer, basically, but I give Elden Ring a pass because they actually they had a beta and they showed off gameplay before they showed off. Not during the show, but I mean, I feel like it was, I don't remember when they did it, but they released gameplay and allowed some people to get into a closed beta to kind of check out the game. So because of that, that's really when I can get behind a cinematic trailer. And this is just pure hype at this point, just like rubbing it in. Like for me, like, yeah, you're going to play this game, but here, have this like 3-minute trailer that you're going to pour over on YouTube, for hours trying to find all the little details, which I did a bit of that today. Just watching the trailer over and over again, trying to pick up on what the story might be. It's so good. And I loved that they actually at the Game Awards had a real life. I think Jeff Keighley called him Pop Friend. That was one of the big things from the first time they showed off gameplay. Well, actually, the first time they showed off Elden Ring at all, I believe they showed the pot, but they didn't show it moving, and everybody on the internet was like, huh, is that pot going to be something for some reason? Like, everybody thought that, and it turned out that they were right. And so the internet loves the pot, little pot guy, and so they had a real-life prop come out. And I thought that was fun. And yeah, I mean, I can't say much more about this game. I'm sort of, as far as gameplay, trying to intentionally not see anything. I know it's more of the open world concept, which I remember on this show when Michael told me that Elden Ring was going for more of an open world concept, I was very hesitant because that is not really the formula of a Souls game. But after they showed off some of the gameplay, all of my reservations are gone. I'm completely on board. It looks like a cross section of everything that I really love. I love Game of Thrones, so the fact that George R.R. Martin is consulting on the story is fantastic. That's just like icing on the cake. I love, it seems like it's going for more of a Breath of the Wild style, kind of open world. I love Breath of the Wild. I love that. So it looks like it might be the next evolution in the Soulsborne, Sekiro, Elden Ring. I don't know. Don't even know what to call it anymore. But that genre. So I am completely excited. And this trailer was just a lot of fun. So
yeah, it's definitely one of the most anticipated games coming out soon, so it's definitely one that I think it might be up for awards in 2022. We'll have to wait and see on that. I've been saying that a lot here on this show, but I want to move on to the next game, and I think this is the one I was most excited about here. That's Ark Raiders. So this game is coming from, I believe, some former DICE developers. I believe the new studio is called Embark Studios. This is, I believe, a PvE kind of shooter game. And the trailer was very interesting to me. I'm really intrigued to see what this game's going to be. And it looks very good. Like, absolutely gorgeous. And I believe it's next-gen only. I did not see PS4 and Xbox One on that trailer either. So it seems like that's going to be a next-gen title. Riley, what did you think?
Yeah, I don't really have much to say on this one. I think this is one of those ones where I just sort of tuned out a bit, but I do remember seeing some parts of the trailer, and it looked just okay to me. Not really my aesthetic or something that I'm super interested in. I hope I'm wrong, but yeah, it's just not something that really caught my interest, I'll say.
Michael, what did you think?
I don't know what I was watching, but I loved every second of it. At first, I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought it was Atomic Heart, or like they were doing some of the Atomic Heart. I'm like, oh, cool. It looks a little different, though. It doesn't look as...
It did kind of look in that style until we started to see like gameplay.
Yeah.
Just because of how crazy Atomic Heart looked. Yeah. When was that? Was that Summer Game Fest?
I think so, yeah. I think that's the last time we got a good look at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, oh, cool, they do some of the Atomic Heart. And then more stuff started happening. I was like, okay, they're toning it down. It's changed. Like, are they changing directions? And the more it went along, I was like, this is kind of like Stranger Things and not Ghostbusters, but what's that movie? The aliens. The aliens are bugs with the Space Marines.
Starship Troopers.
How dare you not know what Starship Troopers are?
I blanked on it for a second.
You know what, Michael? You done giving us our idea. For Nerds Top Movies, we'll be doing a retrospective sometime in 2022. We're going to get you on to do Starship Troopers.
I'd be terrible at it. But yeah, it was giving me all these cool, like, old school vibes. And it had kind of like this 80s VCR kind of deal going on. I was like, yeah, I'm digging this. And I'm actually kind of excited for it. It looks like it could be a fun multiplayer game. And after Back 4 Blood disappointed us, we can use something like this.
Let's talk about our final game, though. Let's talk about The Matrix Awakened. So, Riley, what did you think?
Yeah, this is one of those things where I think this was the last thing that they showed before the Game of the Year awards, or the Game of the Year award announcement.
And it was a tech demo for The Matrix Awakens that is available now and is showing off Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah, I just, like, completely blanked on this. I don't even really know what it is. I know I saw Keanu Reeves up there and his co-star from The Matrix. And, you know, I just...
Carrie-Anne Moss.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't really, you know, anything that spoke to me. I'm curious to see, though. I think I've seen some things online about people being excited about this, so... But yeah, for me, I just was completely blanking. I was about to fall asleep. I mean, after 3 hours, actually 3.5 hours, because I tuned in for like the sort of pre-show before the stage show. So I was getting pretty tired and, you know, kind of ready for the end. But so I'm interested to hear what you two think of it.
I thought it looked pretty good. Thankfully, it wasn't anything like Fast and Furious Crossroads. That's what I was really worried about when they first started talking about a new video game or anything video game related with this movie series. Looks all right to me. I'll probably try out the tech demo one of these days. Michael, what'd you think?
So here's the thing. I actually have The Matrix Awakens downloaded on my PS5 right now, and I was going to play it today, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to do so. I ended up doing other things, dealing with family and whatnot. But it looks super cool, and if this is what the Unreal Engine 5 is capable of, I definitely can't wait to see more developers getting their hands on a finished Unreal Engine 5. Like, the end of Unreal Engine 4's life has been looking amazing. People are doing some great stuff with it, and, you know, Epic has been really pushing how great Unreal Engine 5 is on PlayStation 5, and now we see it running on Series X. I don't have a Series X yet, still. Sad for me, but I got my PS5. I know it's just a tech demo, but it's always cool when developers and publishers allow people to play those tech demos. It gives us a real cool idea of what games can shoot for. But also makes me think how much it will cost. Everything is already going up $10. Everything's already going from $50 to $60 to $70. But for The Matrix Awakens, I think this is probably the coolest way to show off what your new engine can do. And it could probably even attract people who develop games with Unity, as Unreal Engine is free for developers to use. And this could be a cool marketing way, not only for the movie, but for Unreal Engine itself. Because I'm trying to run Unreal Engine. Oh my goodness, there's so much to it. And with 5 coming out, there's a lot that Epic is changing and adding in that looks like it's taking advantage of the RTX and the new AMD's Ryzen's and the Series X and the PS5. So I think this is a great way to show off that new engine. And I hope that more developers will start doing this, because it's really fun to see these things.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with you. Before we wrap this thing up, do you have anything else from the showcase, from this event, that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about here? Try to limit it to 2 to 5 games. And also, I'm going to go ahead and put a stopwatch on this because I don't want this episode to be too long. You got 2 minutes to talk about it. Michael, we'll start with you.
To be honest, we actually hit up on a lot of stuff that I actually wanted to talk about. Except for how amazing Hellblade 2 looked. That game looked absolutely amazing. It looks gorgeous. I still haven't finished the first Hellblade game, and I really got to finish that one before the second one comes out. And a point that the gameplay looks so close to what we saw with that teaser is just mind-boggling. And I can't wait to see what Ninja Theory does with this engine of theirs after they've built realistic staircases, which looks really cool. I can't wait to see what more they do with Hellblade 2 and how they're going to push that story of Senua forward. As for a second thing, I don't really think there was. I did have something in mind that I thought would show up at the Game Awards, but it didn't. And I forgot now. I forgot what I was going to say. So for me, it would be that.
Riley, what about you?
As for me, I think I was going to mention Hellblade 2. And it really does look amazing. It looks almost photorealistic at parts. The thing I did notice about the Hellblade 2 trailer, though, is that it was stuttering a little bit, I noticed. But, you know, kind of chugging. But the game does look amazing. And I haven't played the first Hellblade. It's one of the things I skipped over from a few years back. But I definitely want to go back before this game comes out. Because this looks absolutely amazing. And the trailer was great as well, just apart from how it looked. That little mini story was awesome. And the other game I wanted to talk about was Nightingale. This looks like it's going to be PC only at least for next year, but it's sort of going to be an open shared world with sort of a steampunk aesthetic to it. And the former, or somebody who used to work at BioWare, is heading this project up, Aaron Flynn. I'm not sure what he's worked on in the past, but seems to be a pretty big name. I thought the trailer looked great. One other game that I wanted to mention is Evil West. It looks a bit... You could say that it maybe looks generic, but to me it looks really cool. It sort of has sort of a Doom vibe to it. I don't really know how to explain why. It's sort of like Doom mixed with Cowboy, which is really cool. But yeah, those are the games that, other than the ones that we talked about, stood out to me, I think.
Yeah, by the way, the ex-BioWare developers, I believe it's Inflection Games, is the developer behind Nightingale.
Yeah, that's right.
As for myself, I do have a few things here. I'm not a fan of PUBG per se, but it is interesting that it's going free to play, I believe, in January. The Expanse is getting a Telltale series, which is pretty damn cool considering how much Telltale has done in the past with Guardians of the Galaxy, Game of Thrones, of course The Walking Dead, which I think it's most known for, and also Batman, I believe, got one as well. I believe 2 seasons, in fact. Somerville and Planet of Lana both got trailers. I believe both of these games were games we all three were pretty hyped about coming out of Summer Game Fest. and they still look amazing. They both, to me, look like Dark Horse. Not, I don't know, Game of the Year contenders, but they look like Dark Horse contenders to win a few awards next year. And finally, I'm going to say Rumbleverse, just because I think it looks a little intriguing. I still, like, that was the one game for me that I didn't fully see, because I believe I was tallying up stuff for the first time just to see how we were doing. And I look up, I'm like, what the hell is this, Fortnite? And then, oh, it's this kind of, I guess, wrestling kind of game or something like that. But it looks intriguing, though. Anybody else have anything else to add before we move on?
No, not really.
All right, let's wrap up. Let's talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. Michael, what are you working on and where can people find you?
I am currently working on the rest of my videos for YouTube, for Bagel Games of Anime Frontier. Also got a couple of reviews coming up, and you can find those on my YouTube as well. I know I mentioned before that I was rebooting it, and hey, yeah, look, I'm actually doing it. I got my first rebooted video up, so that's cool and fun. But I'm working on that. I'm working on those things. And you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. And if you see a weirdo in the Fox hoodie, congratulations, you are in the right place.
Riley?
Yeah, I'm not working on much, just working on this show. Sometimes I make guest appearances on Nerds Talk Movies. And you can find me on Twitter at Logue, L-O-G-U-E. Excuse me. Logue, L-O-G-U-E _Riley.
You could find me on this podcast here. You could also find me on Nerds Talk Movies. To wrap up here, we just have one episode left of the Nerd Stash Show until we officially head off to our holiday break. That, of course, will be a new installment of Clash of the Stash, where Riley will be participating in and picking the topics for that episode. After the Clash of the Stash episode is uploaded, the Nerd Stash Show will be back on January 10th to talk about some more gaming news stuff. In the meantime, we still have a few more episodes of Nerds Talk Movies in the pipeline. We're currently working on our Spider-Man movie retrospective tour. And finally, while we're on break, we'd still like to hear from you. You can find our socials and Discord link in the description of this podcast episode. With all honesty, if you're trying to share your opinions with us or get in contact with us, probably better to talk to us through Discord. I want to thank Michael for joining me. I want to thank Riley for joining me as well. Congratulations to you, Riley, by the way, for winning our predictions.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to thank anyone for listening, and we will see you soon.